Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, it's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We've just kicked open the door at Pluckers, Lovers in Greenville, and people just came flowing on in. It's incredible. Hey, don't worry, Colin. Your parents came by and got you a G-bag flag, and now they're sitting down and having wings, so you're all taken care of. And, Ben, I just saw a tweet. Jeff Kavanaugh of the G-Bag Nation says he's heading his way up here.
All right.
How great is that? Get on up here and join us. Pluckers, Lovers, Greenville. I think there are a few G-Bag flags still left, and, of course, lots of wings to be eaten. So get on up here. We got a great college football preview coming up, Texas OU weekend. Teddy Emmerich's going to join us in person up here at noon. And, of course, we're giving you a chance to win $1,000 every single hour here on The Fan. So do be listening nonstop. But joining us now on the BuyerSafety.com hotline, it's our buddy from DallasCowboys.com. Always doing great work. He joins us every Tuesday and Thursday. It's the great David Hellman. Hello, David. How we doing?
I'm honestly really mad right now, guys, because that Pluckers is like a mile and a half from my apartment, and I would totally be there if I wasn't, you know, at the Star covering the Cowboys.
Well, I don't know what you're, you know, I think there's a Giants-Patriots action tonight, so maybe you can just come sit up here at the bar Thursday night, get you some wings and a cold beer, and I think you'll be squared away.
That sounds amazing.
But let's talk about the biggest worries out there at the Star these days. Is it more injury related? Is it more the general state of the run defense? Is it kicker related? What do you think is something that's bugging this coaching staff and the Joneses behind the scenes more than anything else?
If I had to guess, it's probably the health of their offensive tackles, because Jason Garrett just told us that neither Tyron Smith nor Lyle Collins is going to practice again today. That doesn't necessarily mean they won't be ready for the Jets. I think Tyron will probably play, but they're not going to practice, which means at best they would get one day of practice, hopefully tomorrow. But, you know, even as bad as the Jets appear to be, you don't want to play an NFL game without either one of your starting tackles. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, so hopefully those guys can get right.
How drastically would you expect them to change their approach if both those guys are missing and they know they're missing heading into the game? I mean, I know they had to deal with that to some degree. I didn't feel like they gave Cam Fleming enough help, but how drastically do things change if they go into this game missing both starting tackles?
Yeah, and well, I mean, for the record, I feel like Tyron's going to play, but yeah, right now I think you got a game plan for everything, and you know, you should be able to run the ball against this team. I would hope the Cowboys aren't going to fall into a 17-0 hole against the New York Jets. It's a pretty big problem if they do. So I think you can run the ball, quick passes, you know, mitigate what the Jets can do with their pass rush if you're getting the ball out of your hands quickly and utilizing your very good, very well-paid running back. You know, I keep saying, yeah, they could have given Cam more help, and it certainly wasn't 100% pretty, but I don't think the offensive tackles were why they couldn't beat the Packers the other day. So I think you can get through this without just completely having to change your game plan.
Yeah, no, I think so. And you know, you've got to look at every single game, and we're looking past the Jets because the Jets have been really bad, and it looks like they'll continue to be bad, and Philadelphia's on the horizon. But do you feel like the issues so far where they've struggled with stopping the run, do you think it's fixable in-house? In other words, do you see areas where you think that they can greatly improve and it not be an Achilles heel?
I absolutely believe it's fixable in-house because, like, literally it's the exact same personnel as the guys who did it last year. Like, you know, some of the role players have changed. Like, Tristan Hill and Christian Covington are here. But for the most part, you're talking about mostly the same defensive line and obviously all the same linebackers. I don't think they're playing very well. You know, I think, you know, the linebackers specifically, Jalen and Layton, you know, we've talked about it. It doesn't seem like they're making their reads or taking their angles or using their instincts as cleanly as they did last year. I think that can improve because, again, we've seen them do it before. I think getting Antoine Woods back in the mix probably helps you, you know, helps keep them clean from a line standpoint. He's eating up blocks and letting them make plays. It definitely hasn't been good. It wasn't close to good enough against the Packers, but it's all the same players, so I have to believe that they can clean it up.
Okay, so talking to Dave Hellman, 105.3 The Fan. He's from DallasCowboys.com. Leighton Vander Esch, you mentioned him there, and I too think he can play better. He misses practice today. He's out sick, or I guess that'll be 2 days in a row. How concerned are you that he's not going to be able to play in this game?
Good question. I would assume he will play because, you know, it's so funny the way NFL players can handle these things. I mean, you've got a professional medical staff of experts whose only job is to get you right for Sunday. So I would assume, you know, he's getting IVs, he's getting, you know, prescription medication. Like, you can overcome an illness a hell of a lot more efficiently with the help of a team of doctors than most of us do. So I would guess that he'll be able to play, but even still, like, even let's say he doesn't, you know, I know you're not supposed to overlook anybody, but like, I think you can get through this game against a winless team without him. He didn't play that great against the Packers anyway, but Joe Thomas and Sean Lee, obviously both highly qualified guys. I have to believe you can beat a 0-4 team even without him if he is unavailable.
Talking to David Hellman, presented by Ford, the best in Texas. We do it every Tuesday and Thursday with old Hellman. So, David, do you think, you know, we were talking about this with KT earlier, who brought it up. I mean, the two biggest components of the last two losses were turnovers, and that hasn't really been a part of the identity of this team the last couple of years. When you look at the turnovers, do you think that they're more random outliers or that they happen because of issues and it's something that could be problematic?
I think the answer can be both. Jason Garrett actually brought this up in his press conference today. I think he kind of took issue with the thought that Dak Prescott is suddenly like this just pick-happy machine. The interception he threw against the Saints, it's a hopeless jump ball in a Hail Mary situation. You know, he has one against the Packers that clangs off Amari Cooper's hands. So I see where Garrett's coming from with that. At the same time, I thought Dak made several really questionable decisions against the Packers. The one that he threw to Chandon Sullivan didn't look like he even saw him there in the middle of the field. He had one that he threw to Randall Cobb in the end zone that wound up getting waved off, but I just thought was a pretty questionable choice. So I think it can be both. It's not to the point that I'm worried about it because, again, some of those are outliers. And again, you know, Jason Witten and Zeke Elliott are two guys that you wouldn't expect to ever fumble. I think you could call that an outlier. But, you know, if you're going to be throwing more, I think you got to be more judicious with your decision-making. It's not something that I'm worried about just yet, but it is something to watch, I think.
So, Dave, I feel like we've kind of talked about this, and I'm being very broad here, but just hearing some of the other people on our station, we've kind of talked about this game like the way Jason Garrett might talk about it and like, hey, we've just got to clean up what we do. So I want to ask you, is there a certain player or position group on the Jets that might make you a little nervous about this game?
I mean, at the risk of sounding obvious, like the way they played the run the other day, you know, you can't completely discount Le'Veon Bell. Like the Jets offensive line is a disaster, but if there's a guy who can hurt you on his own, it's probably Le'Veon Bell. He's so patient. He's so shifty. So that's something to watch. I would imagine between the pass game and the run game, he's going to touch the ball a lot in this game because the Jets just don't have a ton else. And then my guy, the Dallas native, Jamal Adams over on the other side, man, like he can do everything. He's a safety, but he's basically an extra linebacker. His instincts against the run are insane. He can cover running backs and tight ends in the passing game. I would guess he's going to like live in the box in an effort to keep Zeke from getting loose. Like that's what I would assume is going to happen, and he's good enough that he probably can do that to some degree. So get a hat on that dude and don't let him blow up your run game.
You know, one of the things we've discussed is how bad this team's run defense has been and how it's really their Achilles heel. Maybe that's where they're most vulnerable. And we've kicked around the idea of would you be willing to trade a draft pick for a defensive tackle on a team that is maybe not going to contend and would rather just have the pick. And Ndamukong Suh is one of those names. Or there might be other guys out there available on teams that want to tank. Do you think the Cowboys would entertain the idea of giving up an asset like a draft pick to go fortify their defensive line?
Well, one thing I learned is never say never, because I didn't think we'd ever see them trade away a first-round pick, and they did it for Amari Cooper last year. The difference is, and look, I know they didn't play well against the Packers, but I don't think it's dire enough that I would give up an asset like that, like not a first-round pick. I mean, you know, if we're kicking around hypotheticals and somebody's willing to part with a solid defensive tackle for like a day three pick, then that might be something that would interest me. But if I had to guess, I think the Cowboys think, again, it's all the same guys. Antoine Woods should be back from his injury this week. I think the Cowboys probably think that between coaching up who they have and getting one of their starters back, that they should be all right. If it persists once Woods comes back, then it's probably a different conversation. But when it comes to, like, in-season trades, even though they did just do the one for Cooper, like, I always lean toward thinking it wouldn't happen.
Dave, thanks for joining us every Tuesday and Thursday at 11. Brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. I was wondering quickly, your quick prediction on the LSU game. And also, if you don't have a Halloween idea yet, I was thinking you could go as Groundhog Dave.
Ooh,
oh, that's great.
That is amazing. And act like I need a costume because we do our TV show Cover 4. So that's a great idea.
Groundhog Dave. Get it?
I do get it.
No, I don't.
Now
I don't
just like, it. Do I need to dress like Bill Murray or an actual groundhog? That's
the question. Or you could get very patriotic and you could be like Independence Dave.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I'm usually the one that's known for terrible puns, so I really appreciate this.
Oh, no, KT owns that market. You need to be Punxsutawney Phil and be Groundhog Dave.
Honestly, I'm going to get on Amazon when I get a free minute.
No, at the risk beauty of this, you don't have to wear a costume. Just every single conversation you have, start over, and just like you have amnesia.
Like the dude, who's the guy in that movie that, Phil Ryerson, I knew you back
actually,
in high school.
Tobolowsky, that guy's actually from Oak Cliff.
He's like a freaking legend, man. He's been in like 9,000 movies.
Yeah, he grew up in South Oak Cliff. I think his name's Steve Tobolowsky.
Steven Tobolowsky.
You learn something new every day, man. You really do.
Absolutely. Or he could be the Today game, and he could have some of the greatest.
Cancel.
Bye, Dave. Love you.
Thanks, guys.
Go LSU, I guess.
Yeah, what is he going to be doing Saturday night at 7 o'clock?
He's going to be in New York.
Oh,
at a bar, I bet, watching that game.
Yeah, he'll find a bar. In fact, that's something we should probably be talking about next, Benji.
Hey, it's Bennett Skin Show. We're at Pluckers in Dallas, and, man, we love our listeners. So many cool folks coming out. We were just brought some Yetis for coffee, which are fantastic. We appreciate that. Just met a member of the Dallas Police Department. That's a big honor for us as well. You know, meeting people that loyally listen and support our show and our station, it means more than you can imagine. So by all means, please plan on coming to have lunch with us right now at Pluckers in Dallas. We're off Lovers in Greenville, and you know, we'd love to meet you during a commercial break, take a photo, say thank you for listening. It just means the world to us.
Yeah, and let me throw this out here, Ben, before we get on to the college football stuff, because Pluckers did something really cool. You know, we got some Tolos that live out in Lubbock, and their son, Cade, is here because he's fighting off cancer and had to go through surgery, and we posted it, and a bunch of people. So Pluckers stepped up and gave them a nice meal to watch the Cowboy game, and we had posted that. So Cade went through 14 hours of surgery yesterday, and it was very successful.
Oh, good.
It's a very positive step. So shout out to the Tolo Campbell family that are in town from Lubbock. But their deal is like, hey, when we get to Dallas, the first thing we got to do is, in the words of Ben Rogers, get some wangs for dinner.
Let's do it.
So Cade is kicking ass right now. A lot of people have been asking. We appreciate that. So send shout outs to some good Tolos, the Campbells, as Cade is kicking some ass out there.
That is awesome. Very, very, very good news. All right, it's Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Again, Pluckers in Dallas, stop by and see us. If you're in the area, come have some lunch. We got our orders in. But one of the things we're looking forward to this weekend is a little college football. So, Shippy, give us some college football music, and let's start tackling the games of the week, starting with the biggest one on the docket for us here locally.
Yep.
Number 6, Oklahoma versus number 11, Texas. This is going to be Saturday at 11 a.m. I saw some numbers on Ellinger. Ellinger has totaled 391, 386, and 384 yards of offense in 3 career games against Oklahoma. the three highest outputs by a Texas quarterback in the history of the rivalry.
He's basically Tebow without the ability to heal lepers. You know what I'm saying? He's got a lot of that in his game.
Yeah, not as good of a baseball player.
No, not at all. And then he's not as good at talking to kids.
So you're saying he can't throw?
So what I'm saying is that he is heavy on intangibles, guys. And he's also really good at putting his helmet down and plowing forward. I'm optimistic that the Horns can win this game. I realize they're underdogs. I realize they're going to have to score a lot of points to keep up with Oklahoma. But I am optimistic about this, and I feel like, you know, you guys know how I feel about LSU, and we'll talk about them in a minute. I mean, I think they're tops of the tops. If Texas, let's just say it's even, they lose by 3 or 4 or something, I think that that signifies that they're back in the mix, not to be one of the best teams in the country, but to be consistently good, and I think it'll be a hallmark that Herman's program has turned the corner. I think this game will be a real big indication of where they actually are.
One more note on Ellinger. He's thrown 40 touchdowns versus only 5 interceptions over his last 18 games.
That's awesome.
It's been good,
man. That's awesome, man.
It's going to be a fun high-scoring game, too. And the great thing about Ellinger is, and Texas really up front with their offensive line, they can play physical. Oklahoma doesn't like to play that way. I mean, and Mark Stoops, the defensive coordinator, has been gone.
Right.
And they brought in Grinch or whatever. But there's still not some physical defense. Texas can out-physical them. Now, can Texas stop Oklahoma through the air? Probably not. That's why Texas has a chance. And that's what I say about Oklahoma. I think they're good, but who have they played? Texas has played LSU and hung with them.
Absolutely.
So I'm more confident in Texas going into this game than I was last year, into last year's game.
That's a great point.
Let's put it that way. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think whoever wins will probably be flip-flop when they play in the Big 12 Championship later on in the year. I think that's how it's going to work. Whoever wins this one will lose the next one.
Right.
All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket. By the way, Ted Emmerich will join us at noon. We'll get a little deeper dive into Texas OU. He's calling the game, so that'll be fun. Ted Emmerich live at Pluckers in Dallas. Let's move on to the next game on the docket, and I know this impacts a lot of our listeners, and that is our Aggie friends. Number 1, Alabama at number 24, Texas A&M. This is 2:30 on CBS. Dude, Alabama scored at least 42 points in every game. They're averaging 51.8 points per game. Unbelievable. Tua T hasn't been intercepted in 148 attempts, completing 76.4% of his passes. He's thrown 16 touchdowns over the past 3 games and has topped 400 yards in 2 of those.
Yeah, so here's a kind of an open question to Aggie fans. And if you guys want to be the Aggie and answer the question for him, I salute that. What are your expectations for this game? Like, what is an acceptable outcome? I mean, I'm not talking about, hey, we want to beat Alabama. I get it, right? Everyone wants the most awesome Christmas ever. What is an acceptable outcome for the Aggie fan that is looking up at that freight train coming their way?
To me, the acceptable is not so much this game. It is I need to upset one of Alabama, Georgia, and LSU, who I have the rest of the way. Kellen Mond has the potential to be the most dangerous person in college football. The most dangerous person in college football because he can wreck a dream of one of those 3 teams.
Hmm.
But is Texas A&M going to beat Alabama? Probably not. They're going to beat Georgia? Probably not. They're going to beat LSU? Probably not. But that's my expectation now for Texas A&M, is now to spoil a college football playoff berth for one of those 3 teams.
I think A&M fans should be happy if the game is less than 2 touchdowns. Like, if they can keep it to within 14 points. If they lose by 13, I think they should be proud of that. I mean, Alabama's 9-2 against A&M, 4-0 at College Station. The last time the Aggies defeated Alabama was 2012 with a little Johnny Manziel magic.
Yeah. Yep, those days are gone, my friends. It was fun while it lasted. If you were to wager, do you think Jimbo's there for the long haul? Do you think he turns it around to the point where he doesn't go sniffing around somewhere else?
I'd have to look at his buyout.
I just got a text message from a buddy who's a big-time Aggie. He says, if it's close in the fourth quarter, that's good enough for us.
I think that's a fair goal.
It's fine if it's close to the fourth.
Home
game? Do you think Aggies are glad they went to the SEC?
I think they like to tell you that they are.
But why?
But if they suffer from it on Saturday.
They suffer from it. No, but they love to say, no, man, are you kidding me? Texas ain't our brother anymore, man. Screw them. We're in the SEC. You kidding me? We would trade that for anything.
I'd rather be 12-0 in the Big 12 than 7-5 in the SEC.
So you want to every year look at your schedule and go, man, if we can win one of these five games.
Like that's so bad.
That's
dude.
What it is. And hey, I'm not beating you up, Aggies.
No, I
mean the Horns would be in a worse situation. That's just not it's not the way to go, baby. I know you had dreams of getting every Texas recruit because they all want to live at home but be on national TV in the SEC. You really thought Texas was just going to wait around and let you have every great recruit? You made Texas up their game.
Let's just give 5 seconds of positivity for that game then. Hey, Alabama hasn't played anyone yet either. So,
all right. Sounds
Texas
good.
Texas A&M has the opportunity to be, hey, well, Alabama did play Texas A&M, who kind of kept it close for a half.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Call us on Monday.
There you go.
Sorry, Dave South.
All right, let's move on.
No one ever says that.
Let's move on to the next game in the match and on the slate, and that would be the matchup between Florida State at number 2 Clemson. Clemson puts a 20-game winning streak on the line. 20-game win streak. They've won 4 straight of these meetings, including 59-10 last year at Florida State.
I don't know when it happens, and I don't know if it's this week. Clemson gonna get got.
You think so?
Yeah, I do, man. To me, the times I've watched them play, they've looked really shaky.
Trevor Lawrence had a great quote after the 1-point win over North Carolina. He was like, I mean, it's kind of good. Everyone thinks we kind of suck now, so.
I'm not going to get buried under the weight of the expectations where everybody thought they were going to be incredible. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You've seen them play quite a bit. Have they jumped off the screen to you?
No, not really, but they're super talented and are bigger than everyone, and they're kind of faster than everyone, so you can't tell. He's just had a weird year. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of speculation in Florida State that Willie Taggart, the head coach, might not make it on the flight home if they get skunked.
Are you serious?
That's a 27-point line.
God.
And if it's one of those 52-10 games, I went and looked at his contract. His buyout calls for the university to pay for 85% of his remaining salary. So Florida State would have to eat $17 million.
Is this his second year?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They would have to eat $17 million if they wanted to move on. So I don't think that's going to happen, right?
No, I doubt it.
Because that money could have just been gone to give Jimbo a better offer.
It just seems like Jimbo was dead set on trying to work his way into the SEC.
He was.
And Jimbo probably thought, I'll own Texas. And you got to give him time to do it. I just have my doubts.
Yeah.
All right. Next game on the slate, Texas Tech, which is the national champion. At number 22, Baylor. Baylor ranked for the first time in 3 years thanks to a 5-0 start. That includes impressive back-to-back Big 12 wins over Iowa State and Kansas State.
So was it the Jets that made a power play for Rule?
Yes.
And then they didn't let him bring in his whole staff?
They wanted Kingsbury first, and then they wanted Matt Rule, and then the GM said, the GM who is now fired,
yep,
said you can't bring in your own staff. And he's like, fine, I'll stay at Baylor. And Baylor's good, man, 5-0. Their quarterback, Charlie Brewer, has been really good, takes care of the ball. It's a good offensive versus defensive matchup here. Matt Wells, a good offensive mind at Texas Tech. They upset Oklahoma State last week. They're probably going to get ran over. I think the line is about 10 points in this game, but I think Baylor will probably run them over. Baylor's got a good defense. They've rebuilt that whole thing and that weird culture change and all that stuff. And Matt Rule is probably going to be looking at an NFL head coaching job or a better college football job soon. If he wanted to leave, he'll probably have those offers.
Okay, I want someone out there that has college football reference to tell me the last time that Baylor and SMU were both in the top 25.
Man, that's just a weird assignment to give.
Bro, I mean, I call that the Dave Bliss assignment. If someone can figure out the last time Baylor and SMU were both in the top 25, I'll buy their lunch at Pluckers today.
All right.
Has that ever happened?
I like that.
Just leave Dave Bliss out of it.
Well, dude, those are the teams that he left when they were on fire.
Next.
We'll have to talk about that one, Ben.
Okay, no North Texas at Southern Miss.
Huge game for UNT. They really need to pull it out of the ditch.
Yep. All right, USC at number 9, Notre Dame, 6:30 on NBC.
Yes, the Jared Sandler Bowl.
Well, here's what's interesting about this game is if Notre Dame puts it on USC, Clay Helton is done.
Really?
And I'm not saying they'll fire him this week, but it's going to be – and you know what? Start to heat up a little bit in the college football world. Urban Meyer to USC.
God. So why did he leave Ohio State? Was there was a body or what happened?
I'm not sure what happened.
There's a body and he says he's having a heart attack and then he's back 9 months later.
I probably tuned it out. Yeah. I don't really know.
Okay. Well, bring on the Urban Meyer.
All right. Number 10, Penn State at number 17, Iowa at 6:30 on ABC.
My favorite thing about this game is that really, you have a situation where everyone's going to be watching Florida LSU and no one's going to be watching Penn State and Iowa, which some weeks could be a good game. But this week, it's like, nah, I don't really have time for that one because Florida and LSU are playing, guys.
That's right. Number 7, Florida at number 5, LSU, 7 o'clock on ESPN. I mean, this is probably the biggest game of the week. I mean, we obviously are all about Texas OU here.
And
Ole Miss, Missouri, of course.
Shut up, man. If you don't, I swear to God. So I am going to go to, I know, Ben, you're going too. We're going to go to Salina's Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Probably get out of there around 7-ish. I'm going to tape this game and start it from the beginning whenever I get home and watch it live because I'm that excited. I think this game will be an effing blast.
So I thought this game was going to be a little closer, and then I watched some of that HBO 24/7 thing on Florida. And, man, I'm just not a huge fan of the Florida quarterback, Kyle Trask. He makes me nervous looking at him.
Is this a Nick Savage overreact?
In fact, in the next couple other things, I think LSU kills this game. At 7 o'clock Saturday night, I'll be entering a movie theater to watch El Camino.
No.
But coming up next in the next segment, I will ask the question, does Dan Mullen, the head coach of Florida, have phone sex with his wife a lot?
All right. Interesting question.
What?
We'll get the answer to that.
All right. Our buddy Teddy Emmerich just entered the building. Coming up at noon, he'll give you a very insightful Texas OU preview because he is calling the game this weekend, as he is apt to do. Ben and Skin Show live and direct from the Pluckers here at Lovers in Greenville in Dallas. Great lunch crowd already. A bunch of great Tolos have come by. They're picking up G-bag flags. They're getting their pluckers on. We're meeting like college students, parents. Our old buddy Bonnie's here having lunch with Mallory. It's just an unbelievable day already. And we haven't even hit noon yet.
Oh, my God. There he is. Jeff Kavanaugh.
Oh, my God.
Jeff Kavanaugh's in the house.
Kavanaugh's here. Look at him. God, that is just sex appeal right there. That is insane.
Yeah.
I am really, really feeling the moisture, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what that means.
Because of the rain this morning?
Yeah, it's really damp out there.
Humid.
So, we'll get into the Texas OU stuff at noon, but right now, with a sports audio drive through, here's Tizzle.
I don't know if you guys heard this. We have a new AC Green type guy in the league. Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks.
What, he has some Jerry curl?
No, he's never had relations with a woman. And here's his audio explaining why, and I think it's a very commendable thing that he's doing. Here is Tyler Lockett, the NFL's hottest virgin.
Yeah, I'm waiting till I get married. That's something that I wanted to be able to do, and, you know, that's something that I'm staying true to and committed to.
Is that a difficult thing to do, to avoid that temptation?
You know, I have a girlfriend, and so she understands what I'm about, and, you know, she loves God as well, and she's cool with being able to wait until marriage. And so for me, as long as somebody understands what they're getting themselves into and they respect it, then that's what really matters. And I think that this is a healthier way for me to be able to go about that, just because, you know, I listen to my friends and stuff and they tell me they wish they didn't do it.
Schefter's so bored breaking all the NFL news that he's now started a podcast about the sex lives of NFL players.
Normally that's just called Ballers.
So how about that? So that he's on a team where that's a supported thing. You remember Russell Wilson was holding off from Sierra for a while.
Well, why wouldn't it be supported? I mean, it's like anyone's personal business is their business, right?
I'd be like you're weak, bro.
It's a thing that we've seen people get made fun of for over time. There was a movie made about it.
What do you mean?
Like 40-year-old virgin.
Well, true. I think there's never anything I've wanted more for all three of my kids, my sons and my daughter, than to go this route.
To be wide receivers in the NFL?
To just say no to sex forever. Like, until you get married.
Right.
That would be so awesome.
It would be great.
The problems that come from this, from when you chase, you know, just chasing, and then, yeah, the way you feel when you're trying to make something like that happen, and then the immediate regret and the problems it causes, including childbirth.
The hangover.
I commend him. I commend him.
I wish that I would have held off just so I still enjoyed it. Now I'm 31, and I'm like, there's nothing more to look forward to.
No more websites left for you.
It sucks when you have to put on a mask.
Even that's not enough anymore.
Yeah. It's worse when you have to make everyone else put on a mask.
Now, we were talking about Dan Mullen, the head coach at Florida, Dak's old head coach at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Now, on this 24/7 series with HBO, you know, they're very clear that, you know, they go into the college football head coach lifestyle of not getting to see your kids, not getting to see your wife very much. Now, his wife is very helpful. She's getting she's going to make some food for the quarterback, Franks, who was having ankle surgery. And they get into some weird NCAA regulations, but this is all being filmed on HBO, and it's almost like Dan Mullen had to cool her jets a little bit. Listen to this kind of secret phone call that's not secret between Dan Mullen and his wife.
Hi, babe. How are you?
Great. How are you, beautiful? We're speakered up here, though. I'm mic'd and speakered. So don't say anything too risque on the phone right now. It's HBO, so you could get away with it if you needed to, babe.
Yes, and it's evening entertainment.
Yeah.
Is it going to be something risque like that, or is it going to be me buying Tupperware containers to take to Felipe tonight for dinner?
Probably more of that.
Yeah, and don't worry, it's totally legal. I've checked with compliance. I'm allowed to make him a chicken tonight. Chicken noodle soup. Don't worry.
That's fantastic. Good deal.
Thank you, sweetheart. Apparently, he got out, though, and it went really well. So
that's what they said. Yeah. We got all the
cookies. Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah. I'm cooking for him.
Yep.
Do you want me to bring you something tonight?
No, it's Monday night. We got our... It's like game plan night.
Yeah, so your manly deal. Yeah.
See, pizza and wings. You can't mess with... You don't mess with the routine. Love you.
All right. Love you, too. Bye. Bye.
Okay, so he's going, would you just go away? Or would you stop bothering me? I'm having pizza and wings with the bros tonight. We're game planning for Towson. Okay, yes, I know that my quarterback's ankle surgery went well. I don't need the report from you. That was the vibe I was getting while watching that.
You could tell when they went off script.
When she went to the Tupperware, he was like, oh, God. I thought she was calling to maybe.
Why did you take it there? You thought it was a frisky little thing?
Well, he had to shut her down pretty quickly. Say, hey, we're speakered up, so don't be too risque.
She didn't strike me as she was ready to have phone sex voice.
Well,
she was very methodical.
If she is, she's a super freak. If she could go just flow in and out of Tupperware into that mode, that's pretty impressive.
Now, one more clip we talked about yesterday with the strength coach, Nick Savage of Florida, who has the disease of voice modulation where he talks too loud and he's always in your face and he's amped up steroid guy. I'm not saying he's on steroids, but, you know, the stereotype of those types of guys.
I agreed with him.
Here it is, 6 a.m., Florida Gators team's coming in for their weight room and starting their day, man, 6 a.m., and he's got an air horn. And here's how annoying this guy has got to be to these players.
How you doing? Got a lot of juice flowing out, oozing out of that pour. Gotta go score the decent supply. See you early, got a little hop in the step, a little juice in the cup. Yup.
Bam. All right, he's clearly, his name is not Nick Savage. He's doing Randy Macho Man Savage. He almost yelled, step into a Slim Jim, dude.
Yeah. He said, juice in the cup, yup.
That is,
bam!
That is seriously one of those step into a Slim Jim commercials.
What time is that?
6 a.m.
6 a.m.
And the players are just
up.
Like,
yeah, it's that. That would make me not want to go on with my day.
Yeah.
I would not
play college football for free.
Well, I'm sitting. My sons have a hard time getting up in the morning sometimes. One of them in particular, I would buy an alarm clock like this for him. Like, this guy should come out with his own line of alarm clocks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty genius. I would think it would get you up pretty quickly.
With his voice.
Oh, yeah. That sound and Nick Savage's voice just blaring.
Wake up! Wake up!
Gay juice!
Get out of bed, you pee! Hey, good.
As we know, guys, the Breaking Bad movie comes out it comes out tonight at midnight, actually. It drops on Netflix.
Are you going to see it tonight?
No, I'm waiting going to hold off. I'm not going to watch it at my apartment. I'm going to go to a theater and watch it the way it's supposed to be watched.
How are you going to abstain from all the talk on the medias?
People need to be really cool on Twitter.
That happens.
They need to hold off.
What are you talking about?
That's not an unreasonable expectation. I'm just going
to
avoid Twitter tomorrow.
You need to avoid Twitter.
I'm just not going to worry about my job tomorrow. I'm not going to look at Twitter.
But I feel like that's the case for anybody. If you want to avoid something, don't rely on the world to not talk about it.
Yeah.
Just you personally remove yourself from anywhere you might see it.
To me, if you see something, it's your fault. You should have stayed away from it.
You know what I was able to do when the last Star Wars movie came out? It took me like a week to get to it, Ben. But I don't know if it's just from playing sports or you have peripheral vision. I could tell when a tweet had content I needed to avoid, and I just scrolled.
Dude, what about
I successfully did it. I was very proud of myself.
At Dirk's charity event, you know, we're hosting this tennis tournament during a Cowboy game. And so we were trying to avoid it. We had been totally successful. All of a sudden, people started yelling scores out of the stands.
Yeah, Dirk goes, obviously, the Cowboys are up at halftime. Like,
oh, Dirk.
Come on, bud.
Boy, we cussed Dirk out like you wouldn't believe it.
I put him in his place.
Oh, my God. We were pointing right in his face,
and
yelling at him.
Ben spit right at his feet. It was crazy.
Yeah. You know what? He had it coming.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. We've been too nice to him for too long.
That guy's a jerk.
So, two pieces of audio from late night TV to get you ready for El Camino. First of all, the Jimmy Fallon show.
Ah.
And he has a guy with a very low, bassy voice, Trace Adkins. He's a country music singer. I believe he did a song called Honky Tonk Badonky Donk one time.
I hope so.
But he came out with a choir and did the Breaking Bad theme song with lyrics.
God, I miss this.
This is pretty great.
Was a high school teacher till he got real sick.
Now he's Breaking Bad, now he's Breaking Bad.
Aaron Paul was his friend who called everybody bitch.
He was Breaking Bad, also Breaking Bad.
Started cooking up drugs, but they came out blue.
He was Breaking Bad, making drugs is bad.
Bought a pork pie hat, threw a pizza on the roof.
Cause he's Breaking Bad, really Breaking Bad.
Was a big shootout and he wound up dead.
You just spoiled it, dude. Spoiled it, stuff is bad.
If you haven't seen the show, never mind what I said.
Check out Breaking Bad, that kid's Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad.
Okay, that was Fallon or Kimmel?
That was Fallon.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That's really good.
That was fantastic.
Now, Kimmel had Aaron Paul.
Okay, this is what I watched.
Playing the role of Jesse Pinkman. If you haven't seen it, you should have already seen it, Breaking Bad. But if you haven't, it's fine. But I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. They bring out Aaron Paul, and Aaron Paul basically is kind of nervous, you can tell. And basically, in about a minute, explains the whole series, and now you're ready to watch El Camino this weekend.
Okay.
So there's this chemistry teacher named Walt who gets cancer. Mm-hmm. His wife, Skylar, is pregnant, and his son, Walt Jr., really loves breakfast. Then he does. Then Walt starts cooking meth to pay for his medical bills with the help of his former student, Jesse. We kill some people with science. I dissolve a body in a bathtub, which falls through the ceiling, and it was super gross. Walt's brother-in-law, Hank, is a DEA agent, and he's after us. So is a drug dealer named Tuco. Walt blows up Tuco's hideout with science, then kills Tuco, who has a weird uncle in a wheelchair that rings a bell. Then Walt gets naked in a grocery store. I fall in love with Jessica Jones. Walt hires a lawyer named Saul who gets his own show where he works at a Cinnabon. There's a scary chicken man named Gus. Danny Trejo's decapitated head on a turtle. Jessica Jones chokes on her own vomit. Her dad gets sad and crashes two planes into each other. And we meet a grumpy bald guy named Mike. Walt throws a pizza on a roof. Creepy Mexican murder twins shoot Hank. We kill a fly.
Wait. You kill a fly?
Yes, yes. It was an entire episode.
Oh, okay.
Skylar buys a car wash, gives all of their money away. Creepy wheelchair uncle blows up scary chicken man. We destroy evidence with a magnet. I say, science, meth labs and fumigation tents, train robbery. Hank figures out Walt is actually Heisenberg while taking a spoiler alert, Hank dies. Mike dies. Lydia dies. My new girlfriend dies. I get kidnapped by neo-Nazis. The Nazis die because Walt kills them with a cool robot gun and the trunk of his car. Because again, science. Then Walt dies while I drive away in an El Camino, which is also the name of the movie where this all picks up.
Wow.
There it is.
Yeah, great. Dude, listen to this.
And I've been thinking about all of that stuff that happened, too.
He sat down and did the interview with Kimmel. Dude, Kimmel was incredible last night. Howard Stern has a new book that sounds unbelievable. Stern was great. Then Pinkman comes back on, Aaron Paul, and he said that when they were shooting, they're shooting in Albuquerque, and they were telling people, and they were using, they're like, well, Better Call Saul is on break right now, so we're doing this project that's not related. We're just using some of their gear to save money.
It was for a tour, right?
Yeah. Because the anniversary was coming up. So they were able to shoot this whole movie without anybody knowing what was going on in Albuquerque, even though they shot the whole series there in the first place.
Is Walt dead?
Yeah.
I think so.
So will Walt be in this, even in flashbacks?
I think he's going to be in it through either flashbacks or hallucinations.
I think he's going to be in it just like Obi-Wan Kenobi was in the subsequent Star Wars movies. He'll be there for a few seconds and say something. And
R2-D2 will show up. Yeah, it'll be a hologram.
Shoot a hologram of him. Something like
rewatching that, it's like, oh, it's unbelievable that I was ever pulling for Walt. It's like you rewatch it, you go, man, he was totally a jerk the whole time. Why didn't I pick up on that?
Yeah, I can't even remember it all. Like hearing all that, I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, I need to go back and rewatch it.
I missed things in the final season.
When did that end?
About 5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Might be time to go rewatch the whole thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I watched all of the final season and remembered so much stuff. And Jesse's ego put him in positions, and Hank's ego put him in bad positions, and Walt's ego is the worst, put them in so many bad positions. But this would have never happened to Jesse if he would have done what Hank said. But he didn't do what Hank said because Hank insulted him and never took Jesse seriously. And that's what led to all this. It's so great. I can't wait.
I'm excited. El Camino hits theaters and Netflix this weekend. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's get everything you need to know about Texas OU this weekend from the man who's calling the game on the radio. It's our buddy Ted Emmerich right here on The Fan.